Wish you God's blessings this weekend with your time with family. It does give us the opportunity to honor those who have fallen. And today is an opportunity, too, with Jesus' words, to talk about peace, which also fits Memorial Day as well. The war, World War II, is over. I think you already know that. I don't think I'm sharing anything that's news to anyone. At least I hope you know that. World War II is over. That was the title of an article that read in the Associated Press on January 11th, 1990. Yes, January 11th, 1990. Now, you may not realize this, but that's when the war officially ended for two people. You see, in 1990, just a couple days before January 11th, two Japanese soldiers who were then in their mid-70s walked out of a jungle for the very first time. You see, for five decades, they had been separated from their squadron in the mid-1940s, right before the war ended. They separated from their squadron, and they joined a Malaysian communist guerrilla group. For five decades, they lived in the jungle. They lived just day-to-day, getting supplies just to get by. They lived in some chaotic circumstances in the jungle. Meanwhile, all the other soldiers, pretty much, who were involved in World War II, at least in the Pacific side, they understood that there was a peace treaty. And all the other soldiers lived in that peace and went back and celebrated that peace. And what a great and golden era that was in the United States in the 1950s. But you see, for two people, for two Japanese soldiers, they lived five decades without recognizing peace had come their way. That's an incredible story. Well, friends, this morning Jesus is giving an announcement in John chapter 16. It's kind of similar to that peace treaty that was signed. Actually, the peace treaty was signed in September 1945 when the Japanese unconditionally surrendered, I believe, to the Allies. I'm not sure who it was to, the United States or all the Allies, but it was in September 1945. Jesus gives an announcement here in John chapter 16, our text. He's gathered with all the important people around him that were close to him throughout his ministry, his disciples. And this is a long speech of Jesus, and at the beginning of the speech, Jesus is kind of soft and tender-hearted, and I imagine towards the end of the speech, he's kind of getting a little serious, and he makes a public announcement with these words. At the end of our text, Jesus says this. Think of it as the newspaper announcing this. I have overcome the world. Now, live in my peace. I have overcome the world. Now, live in my peace. You know, I actually think a lot of people misunderstood what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 16, that they really didn't recognize, even when he originally said it, this bold announcement that there was peace and he had overcome the world. I think they missed it because actually in Jesus' time period in the first century, there was a kind of a peaceful times going on when Jesus came. Here's some of the things that were going on. There was really one government, the different peoples in the world when Jesus came, but there was one government, a Roman government. And for the most part, it was a very peaceful time as Rome allowed for communication and travel that had been unheard of since the beginning of time, the history of mankind. This was during Jesus' time. Roads were opened up, communication was opened up, and there was a receptive language in every culture that pretty much in this area you could go to and communicate with one another. It was Greek. You go back. And so when Jesus announces, I have overcome the world, you may live in my peace, I think some people were scratching their heads saying, we already live in peaceful times. Things are going pretty well. Boy, do we miss what Jesus is saying today, his bold announcement, 21st century. And I think we miss it for some of the same reasons as those in the first century missed what Jesus was saying. We live in relatively peaceful times. And we understand that word of peace in a little bit different way. In today's vernacular, we think peace is kind of a feeling that we have that is there one day and then maybe gone the next. We feel peaceful. So when I go to the grocery store and I ask the clerk, how are you doing? One person once answered me by saying, I feel peaceful. And that's a great thing. We should want to feel peaceful. And if someone were to ask me after my morning walk in the morning on Bald Hill how I'm doing and my runs up there, I would probably answer saying I have a peaceful state of mind. I do at 7 in the morning. That's about the only time of day that I do. But friends, Jesus' sense of peace is not our understanding. It's deeper. He's got something else in mind. It's more than just a feeling or a circumstance that we're in. Jesus' sense of peace is much deeper. And the danger here is if we miss this announcement in John chapter 16, I don't want to spread fear here, but in some ways, if we miss this announcement and the significance of it and we don't live in his peace, we run the risk of being like those two soldiers who missed the announcement that World War II ended and lived 5 decades in the jungle. Living chaotic lives without peace. So on Memorial Day weekend, we want to come away with what is peace? What is Jesus talking about? Here's the thing. In my studies, this is what I think what he's talking about. Jesus is saying peace is not something you can bring on, not something that I can manufacture. Peace is just a reality from Jesus' work for us. It's a reality that we live in. There's nothing you can do to change it, and it's a wonderful thing to rest on. You know, my wallet, I didn't bring it out here this morning, I should have, but in my wallet I have my license, and my license has a bunch of realities on it. Some of those realities I wish I could change. Here's a couple of them. My license says my name, Jeremy Nelson Lucky. I always wished that my name was actually Joseph. Why didn't my parents name me Joseph? Jeremy, so I've gone with it. It's Jeremy, it's a reality. The other part on my license, if you pick it up and look at it, is it gives my birth date, 5/15/1978. There have been times in my life, boy, I wish that wasn't the reality. I wish my birth date was something else, but I've got to stick with it. That's reality. Also on my license, it says, this was back in 2014, it says 6'1", 194 pounds. That's what it says. I wish that said 6'6", and 220 pounds. But when I pick up my license, it's there. I can't argue with it. It's a reality. That's what Jesus is talking about. This peace he offers is a reality that we live in. As we pull out our driver's license and say, boy, I wish things could change. No, we don't say that. We say, this is what it is. And Jesus is saying, live in my reality that I've created through my life, death, and resurrection. Live in that, and that will bring you peace, a deep sense of peace. Well, Jesus is also talking about a peace that is not based on circumstance or on our situation. As I talk to people about peace, they think it's that. They think peace is, you know, a feeling, it's an emoji that you have at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or that you put up with your Facebook post. That is not Jesus' understanding of peace. Jesus' understanding of peace is a reality that doesn't change with circumstance. And so, you know, there's the great story of an art competition that maybe you've heard before. I've shared, I think, a piece before, but it's worth reminding you of what we're talking about. There was an art competition in which the artists were encouraged to paint a picture of peace. Many of the people that painted a picture had a serene landscape with not a worry at all in that picture, and beautiful colors and an eagle flying high above the waters without a ripple in the waters. And that was their sense of peace. And all these paintings that were turned in were calm and serene, absolutely. But it was shocking at the end of the competition when the painting that was chosen was a very dark and gruesome picture. The title of the painting was Peace in the Midst of Conflict. The artist painted dark clouds in the background with lightning and you can imagine thunder off in the distance. And then there was a waterfall that looked very intimidating. Waters down below that looked very treacherous. Then in the very middle of it all, there was a branch with a nest for birds. And inside that nest were little birds that were in the midst of all this conflict. Hi, Carly. How are you? Good to see you. Yeah. Roy says we have conflict. Yeah. So in the midst of this dark picture, there's this little nest with these chicks, but they're completely safe. And that was the picture that won the competition. And you see, that's actually Christian peace. Is that when the circumstances around us and the difficulties lie around us, we're safe and secure in the protection that God gives us. Our world gives a really shallow understanding of peace. We live in that reality. When Jesus says, I have overcome the world, one little note, and this jumps back a little bit in where I wanted to share this, but I want you to know this. When Jesus shares that word, I have overcome the world, the tense of the word changes to perfect tense. English doesn't pick this up. You're not going to pick it up in any translation, but you should know what he's talking about. When it goes to perfect tense, Jesus is saying that I have overcome the world. In other words, what I have done, this victory that I've done, is going to endure beyond just this day. It's going to endure for centuries until I come again. It's very rare that he changed the word, the tense of the verb there when he spoke these words. And so the peace endures. Yeah, I don't know about you, but this is the kind of peace that I need in my life. I like to think that I'm emotionally stable and that I'm a very calm and gentle person in general. But there are times in my life where my emotions get the best of me and I'm upset and angry. And I can't control that. I can't bring peace in those moments. I need something deeper that's given to me from someone. I like to think that I can overcome the circumstances in my life, but that's not true. Sometimes there are things that are beyond me. I need something outside that brings me peace and comfort. And Jesus gives it this morning in the peace that he has to offer. And even though sometimes in my life, and maybe your life is the same, I'd rather just go off into the jungle and live my own ways and not think about the peace that Jesus offers, he still extends it. And he wants us to live in it. As if it's just a part of who we are on our driver's license. This is what he gives us. Jesus' peace is the cure. Jesus' peace is the cure. In today's world, we have an epidemic of anxiety. I see it. I see it with beloved people that I love and know. Heartache, fatigue, restless nights. Stress at home, stress with finances. They're now calling it an epidemic of anxiety in our culture, in our community. And the only strategy that I can share with you that'll fix that is Jesus Christ. You may stand here this morning and say, Pastor, that's too simple. We live in the 21st century. We can have advanced technology and advanced methods to handle things like anxiety. Come up with something grander than that. Trust the cure. Trust the cure in your life. You don't have to add on to it. Find more things to fix the anxiety. You don't have to conjure up things to do beyond what Jesus has done for you. The cure for peace, for what ails us, is Jesus. Nothing beyond that. Jesus has announced this to us this morning. Today we live it. It's a reality. And we celebrate it, not just today, but it endures for all time. May that be our life purpose, especially as we focus on these words from John 16 today. Amen.